This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
The word the Lord gave me this morning is my brother's keeper, and spoke very quickly with Ross, and he was saying, can we speak about friendships and being the brethren together? And it was just such a confirmation of what's on God's heart. So I'm not sure if Ross will carry on with this at another time. I think it's something that we can really delve into, especially in this time that we find ourselves in. And I entitled this, My Brother's Keeper. And in the military, we got something that we call a dog tag. And what a dog tag is, it's so that when and if you die, that you can be identified. So it speaks about who are you, what is your identity, and it would have your rank on it, and it would have your name, your surname, and your initials, and probably your ID number or your military number at least, so that people could recognize who you are. And I'm going to explain a little later on why I actually put that slide in there, and I'm going to start with a little bit of scripture, and if that's all right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And adversity speaks about a difficult and unpleasant situation. And that's where we find ourselves today, right? We find ourselves in a time and a place of lockdown, and it's not a great time. It's a bit of adversity. I wouldn't say it's to the point of that we see with Paul them being imprisoned and really suffering, but it's definitely a time of adversity. And I'm going to just carry on with that as a thought, and just to remind ourselves that as brothers, we are born for a time such as this to help each other. And we're going to delve into the story of Cain and Abel, a very well-known piece of scripture. And when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. And dejected means sad or depressed. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so depressed? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eagerly to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the field. And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the scripture that's so well known to all of us. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? And I love what the NLT, and I specifically use the NLT here. I love what it says. I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? Am I my brother's keeper? And a guardian is a person who's supposed to protect or defend someone. And such a beautiful analogy that. And so I'd like to start off by asking this question. Or to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. In other words, in layman's terms, are we responsible to look after our neighbors as we seek to earn our daily bread? In other words, are we responsible to look after our neighbors as we seek to earn our daily bread? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning before you, and we come and ask, Lord, that you'll speak to us in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. And at the same time, we quieten our minds. We quieten our hearts. And we pray that you'll really come and connect with us. Come and speak to us. Come and show us Jesus Christ this morning through your word. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to really just come and bring conviction this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we see that in 1 John 20 verse 21, if anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So how does this look in practice? How does this love look in practice? And I'm going to keep in scripture a beautiful part of scripture that really, really ministered to me in the last while, in this week, as I've been working through this book. And we're going to read an entire book of scripture together as we go through Philemon, the book of Philemon. I'd like us to look at how this book is written. So I'm going to keep the scripture up in front of you. And I'd like you to listen to this letter from Paul as he's writing. And I want you to try and see what is the heart of Paul speaking with the back end of that scripture in John, the love that Paul has here. And so Paul, as he typically starts scripture, he'll start with a greeting, typically starts a letter. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker and our sister, and to our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. So greeting all the people there. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And when we see the word co-worker, Paul would always write about co-workers with people that he'd actually worked with in the past and that he's ministered with and people that he has a relationship with. So we get the idea from the word go here that Paul knows Philemon well. He's greeting him. He's sending his regards from him and Timothy. And such a warm, welcoming, loving way to already start this letter. And then it carries on. I always thank my God when I pray for you, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Listen now very carefully. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. So Paul just encouraging and affirming this man of God and reminding this man of God how much joy and comfort Paul has received because of this man of God and his kindness. So we see that this is really a man of God. Philemon's a real man of God. And Paul, as he continually does, we pick up that Paul is always praying for God's people. And in many of his letters, he'll remind them how he prays for them. And then Paul makes an appeal in this letter. And let's just listen to what the appeal is. That is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Jesus because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, listen very carefully, because of our love, I prefer to simply ask. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you and with him comes my own heart. Isn't that so beautiful that Paul is saying that I'm going to send this guy back to you, and if you receive him, you might as well be receiving me. You're receiving my heart. But I've spent so much time with this man. I've engaged so much with this man. And it carries on to say, I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news. And he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. Once again, Paul even asking consent of his brother for being able to use this and work with this man. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So what is the big deal here? Why is it such a big deal? And what the big deal is that Onesimus was a slave. In those times, it was legal to have slaves. And even as men of God and as Christians, you were allowed to have a slave. And we find that Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and he ran away from Philemon. And somehow, we don't know how, he ran into Paul, and his life was transformed. He spent time with Paul, and his life was changed. And Paul writing, would you please take him back? Would you please take this man back so that you can have him to serve? And if you receive him, you would be receiving as if you were receiving me. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Now listen very carefully, this is so beautiful. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. So what we see here is the love that he has for both these two men in his life, these two saints that he's expressing love. And he's standing in the middle as almost as a gatekeeper and pleading on behalf of Onesimus and himself to his brother Philemon. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you'll do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and will let me return to you soon. Reminding us that at this time, Paul is in prison. And I know it feels for many of us, we're in prison as Paul was. We can relate in a certain sense, but I can assure you that Paul did not have the Checkers 6060 app where he could put in his little order and his Take-A-Lot orders and everything would arrive at home for him. This was really, truly a time of prison for him and a hardship that he was enduring. And then Paul ends by saying, and I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to mention that he always answers. Let me actually show this. He always ends his letters very similarly. And he ends it by saying, typical of Paul, greetings. And he sends all greetings to everyone. And so this is the question that we're going to be working through right now. And the question is as follows. Once again, in other words, are we responsible to look after our neighbors as we seek to earn our daily bread? And we see with Paul, in the heart of Paul, we see throughout Scripture that God's heart is truly to share. God's heart is truly to really just come and give a beautiful example of the love of Christ because of the love that we have for each other. The standard in the church should be visibly higher than in the world. That's speaking about for this that the world will know, and I'll get to the scripture again later, that for this the world will know that you are my disciples for the love you have for one another. See, we are not called to a systematic victimizing of our neighbors. And I'm afraid that in this world we work in, the way the world works, often as Christians we are caught up in unfortunately being part of a systematic victimizing of our neighbors, where people get taken for a ride, people get used or abused or get into bad business deals. And it's all about business. That's what it's about. It's about rands and cents. Your company will tell you the reason you're here is to make money and to provide a service and to make money. And often, unfortunately, that leads us to not being our brother's keeper. And we see this beautiful miracle in Acts. Acts is one of these beautiful, amazing things that in Acts 2, it says, and I'm just going to read you, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. In Acts 4, once again, it says, all believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. What a beautiful way. And no, I'm not saying, guys, in the time of lockdown, please send all your money to Ross's account and we will share and divide the money equally. That's not what we're saying here. This was something that was led by the Holy Spirit. This was not of man. It was such a movement of Holy Spirit. It was such an incredible thing that even Ananias and Sapphira who sinned against this. And the only way you could sin against something so mightily is if everyone had this conviction. It was not something that was forced down on people by man. This was a revelation that the church of Acts walked in. So if anyone ever tells you you need to give all your money to the church, please, that's not how it works. It's a revelation. It's by the Spirit that this revelation happened in Acts. And they just felt that nothing that they owned was their own. And they gave everything and they shared it amongst themselves. And they had all things in common. And we see also in 2 Samuel 1 verse 26, how I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you. And your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of a woman. And for some of us, we go, what's that all about? That's a little bit weird. And I just want to say the following, that if you were, especially with the men, if you were in res, any courses for us back in the day, or you in the military, we see this incredible love that the brethren have for each other, the brothers have for each other. When they're next to the rugby field and they're shouting, and they're cheering on, there's a real camaraderie, a real love, a real brotherly love that you can experience and see there. And that's nothing as much as the love as we see between David and Jonathan, a real camaraderie. So when Jonathan died, it really hit David hard, and there was an incredible, incredible love. And we also see then further in Scripture, in Romans verse 14 and 1 Corinthians 8, that Scripture says so much that if what you eat is causing your brother to sin, or don't eat it, don't even go there. So if having a glass of wine offends your brother, don't have a glass of wine in front of him. That's the love and the standard that God calls his church to be, a higher standard than other standards. I know this is a real difficult one, and it causes that if you're a vegetarian, especially in Durbanville, you are not going to get many invites, because most of our invites are braais. And as a vegetarian, you'll be fine right now. But you know, that contentious, why don't you eat meat? What's wrong with you? And then the vegetarian going, why do you eat meat? What's wrong with you? And the whole heart of God here is, don't offend your brother. And if you do something, and it was speaking about eating foods that was given up to idols, if it offends a brother, don't do it. And that is the standard that God calls us to be in. It's a beautiful standard. It's a beautiful way that we can just say, you know, I really care about you. I really love you as a brother. I really care. And going back to that letter of Paul, it's so beautiful how he navigated through that difficult situation. Here's a situation where, you know, his slave ran away, and he had a right to that slave. And he said to his slave, but you must return. You must go and do the work of Jesus Christ and continue. And I'm going to send you back to Philemon, and with the letter, I'm going to send this letter to Philemon, and he will receive you. And because of the relationship between Paul and Philemon, Philemon receives the slave back. And so God's saying there is a wise way and a mature way as Christians and as brothers to look after each other and to speak to each other and to work with one another. As we see in Psalm 133 verse 1, behold how good and pleasant is when brothers dwell in unity. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? That is one we very well known and acquainted with. And let's see if I can share this slide quickly as I try and make a... And as you see, I included that dog tag there again. And my question that I would like to ask, my second question that I'd like to ask us is, what does your dog tag say? And I'm going to give a quote to the younger people, or a reference to the younger people in the church. There's a movie back in the day about Wolverine. It's one of the origin stories of the X-Men. Please don't go watch it. It is not a family friendly or not the greatest Christian movie that to watch. But the idea was that this guy, he was this guy by the name of Logan. He was a military guy, and he was going to go under a they were going to put metal in his body and sort of turn him into half machine kind of idea, one of those type of typical fantasy weird movies. And there's a scene where the guy says, here's your dog tags. And he says, no, I want new ones. And he says, but what do you want them to say? And then he says, I want them to say Wolverine. And my question for us is, what would your dog tag say? Would it say my brother's keeper? Would it say selfish? Would it say greedy? Would it say giving? Would it say loving? If you could choose a dog tag that represents you the most, a slogan, a word, a phrase that represents you the most as a human being on earth, would it say Christ's child? What would your dog tag say? And I'm reminded of a beautiful vision that God gave me many years ago during intercession in Stellenbosch, and I've shared this many a times, but we were up against this enemy force, and we were standing in one long, long line. And the idea that I got was pretty much the idea of Shaka Zulu when he used to attack the enemy. They'd be in a long line, and then the younger guys would be on the outskirts, and they'd surround the enemy from the sides, and the older men would come from the middle, and they would attack the enemy. And what I saw was that the enemy had archers, and the archers all started shooting in the middle, and they couldn't get break through the armor because we all had our shields up. And then they started looking towards the one side, the left side, and they all started shooting towards the left. And as they started shooting towards the left, every soldier immediately took his shield and held it to his left side to protect the person on his left. And as soon as the enemy saw that, he started shooting to the right, and everyone would take the shield and block to the person on the right. In other words, they never at one moment, as this army of God is coming up, we never once had our own shield in front of us. We made sure that our brothers and our sisters were safe, and they would do the same. And because of that, no one would get injured. No one would get shot, because we were able to block the arrows of the enemy for our brothers. And so I come and I make this appeal for us that in this time, not only do we need to reach out, as Toby so beautifully shared this morning, not only do we need to go and share to those that have nothing, you know, the widows and the orphans. We are called to look after the widows. We are called to look after the orphans. We're called to bring the good news to the poor and those that don't have, but also at the same time for our own household, for our own brothers and our own sisters. It's part of the appeal that I've been making for the last few weeks, but I'd like to really zone in on this today and say, may I ask that you take this time to really ensure that people in your small group, people in your church, friends that you know, are doing well. The elderly people in our church, some of them don't even have internet. Give them a phone call, just encourage and make sure they're all right, and really open up your hearts towards one another. Really pray for one another and rejoice with those that rejoice as we rejoice with the wonderful couple that got engaged. We're really excited about you, for you guys. Hannes, congratulations. We love you guys, and we are really, really, really excited for what God has for you as a couple. So just to say, God is with us, but at the same time, we need to bring that love to one another. God has called us to love one another, to be our brother's keeper, to make sure each one of us is okay. I love and I love the military. I love army and in America, in the forces there, they have a saying that never leave anyone behind. No matter what, we never leave anyone behind. And I want to encourage us as the Church of Jesus Christ to have that same mentality. We leave no one behind. This is a time where some people might come out stronger in their relationship with God, and that is obviously our prayer, closer to the Lord, as I'm hearing many of us spending so much time with God and really just being able to worship and open up the Word of God like never before. But for some of us, we might really be struggling. We might really not be able to come out as strong. For some of us, we might have our own demons that's just really ministering, and our own fears and our own difficulties. And I just want to say, let's make sure no one comes out, or that everyone comes out in the end, and that no one is left, and that we come back and when we're able to have church finally together, and we start asking after 6 months, but where's John and where's Pete, and where's Bob, Saki, George, Nige, whoever, and we find out that we've lost them. We've lost our brothers and sisters because we were not our brother's keeper. And if God was to ask us and sit down and say, Bernie, where is George? Where is Bob? Where is Saki? Where is Nige? And would my answer be, am I my brother's keeper, Lord, really, in this time? It's a hard time. Or do I go, Lord, I reached out. I did my best. I made sure that everyone made it across. And I believe that God is calling us into that space and to calling us to do that for his kingdom. And then John 13, verse 35, I'm just going to read it. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And once again, that's that scripture that's from the NLT. And another version says, for this, the world will know that you are my disciples, for the love that you have for one another. All right. And then, so in conclusion of the story of Philemon, love fully. Kindness refreshes God's people. Love fully. Kindness refreshes God's people. Forgive even when you are wronged. So we see that Philemon was wronged by a slave, for the slave ran away. And even if you are wronged, forgive. Be your brother's keeper, as we see that Paul was Onesimus's brother's keeper. He said, Onesimus, God has done an amazing thing in your life, and I'm going to be your brother's keeper here. And the beautiful thing where Paul ends that letter, and it's so beautiful, keep hope even when in chains. So even in lockdown, keep hope. I mean, Paul's in chains and he's in jail and he says, I am praying and hoping that I will keep a room ready for me that I can come soon. His heart was not in the place that I'm in lockdown right now. His heart is, I still have work to do for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Lord, release me of this prison so that I can still build your kingdom, so I can go to my brother and go minister there, that I can carry on encouraging the saints and building the kingdom. His eyes was not in the situation that he found himself. His eyes was into what was to come. And if it's all right, we're gonna end off with communion together, and we're gonna break away into rooms. And I'd like to encourage you to just in this time, as we break up into these rooms, that you mention one thing that you have experienced about yourself that you didn't know. And hopefully it'll be a good thing. But one thing that this lockdown has really brought out inside of you, one thing that you've really learned about yourself, or even your spouse, or maybe one of your children, or maybe even a roommate, and share that, and then break in communion. But before we do that, I would like to close, if I may, by being my brother's keeper. And I have three concerns at this point that the Lord has really laid on my heart, a prophetic burden that I'm being carrying. And if it's all right, if I just quickly go through these three things to encourage us and to uplift us and to warn us, so that we can just be on the page of God, and that we can get through this time. As I've called it in my last sermon, the caves of Adullam, that we can get out of that trajectory that God's calling us to get out with. And the three words, or the three statements that can help you to remember: stay full, stay away, stay focused. So staying full is, we see with the wise virgins that the Lord has given us oil, and he says to us, keep your oil trimmed, keep it full, keep the oil going. So keep, by being wise, keep in the presence of God, keep focusing on God, keep spending time with God, keep worshiping. Don't let the hardships and the challenges and work bug you down, that you don't connect with God and that your oil is not full. My second warning is, one of the shofar pastors sent to the pastors group a scripture that he read, and it really just ministered to me. And I'd like to share this and bring out some stuff in this. And it's out of Isaiah 8. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He says, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They will be snared and captured. Preserve the teachings of God. Entrust his instructions to those who follow me. I will wait for the Lord. He has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my hope in him. And so what we take out of that is stay away from conspiracies. There's a lot of conspiracies going on. There's a lot of things that people are speaking about. And I would like to say that Scripture teaches us to stay away from the conspiracies. Don't live in dread. Make the Lord your holy place. Make him holy. Fear him alone. Many will stumble. Preserve the teachings. All right. Preserve the training that you've gotten in Shofar and in the Bride of Christ. And then lastly, wait upon the Lord is all that I take out of Isaiah 8. And that was Isaiah 8, 11 to 17. I really encourage you to work through those scriptures. And then lastly, I'd like to say that, so stay full, stay away, stay focused. With staying focused, there's a lot of WhatsApps that's going around, a lot of messages of people that's having dreams of revival. And I would like to just mention something about this that is a concern to me, or something that I feel that we need to understand when we speak about revival. There's a South African, and this has been sent to me by many people in this congregation and many people within Shofar that's very excited for a South African young man had a dream of God about revival coming to South Africa. And it starts by saying he believes it's going to happen, first of all, in Russia, and then I think second was South Africa, or third was South Africa. And you can really pick up the humility in this guy. And so it's not a false word. It's not a false dream. I don't pick up in his sharing that there's any pride or there's any falseness in the word he's given. And I want to say from the word go, my prayer is that we see revival in our lifetime. I really pray that we can come out of this lockdown and that revival will break out all over the world, and especially in South Africa, where we'll see amazing, amazing revivals. But this is my warning, and I'm going to relate it as I would relate to, okay, so revival is not a means to an end. In other words, revival is not the end of God as much as the wedding day is not the end of the marriage. So instead of putting the focus on the wedding day, we have to remember that there's a marriage, and that there's a marriage that we need to work through. And I call this the wedding day delusion. We're so focused as young people on that day. It's all about that day, and we get flowers, and we get the best dressed and the best photographer and videographer, and we do all this preparation for the wedding day, but then we miss the fact that we've not prepared for marriage. And anyone that's been married longer than one day will tell you that there are challenges, that there are major things that we need to go through. So with revival, revival is not the end. It would only be the beginning of the work that would need to happen. And that's why so many revivals have happened in the past and have fizzled out, because it was all about the revival itself and not anymore about God. The revival became an idol. And as we speak about revival and we're praying for revival, be careful that the word revival does not replace the name of God and the heart of God, because it's only one part of the heart of God. So if I may once again say, guys, stay full, stay away, stay focused. Let's focus on what God's talking to us, saying to us. Let's stay focused on that it is about the great commission of Jesus Christ. It is about the love that we have for our brothers, that when revival happens, that we can grow and that we can focus, and that we will not be taken and focusing on the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but we will be reminded that it is about the love that we have for one another as brethren. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to share those things. We're now going to break into groups, and I'd like to invite you to participate in communion. If you have some bread and some juice, if you have wine, then that is, I don't know how anyone still has wine, but if you have wine, then you can take out a glass of wine and share and break together the elements of Christ and pray for one another. Let's just spend some time together, pray for one another. Can I ask that we please stand point? Let's not deviate from what God wants to do now. We're going to take part in communion. We're going to answer one simple question. What have I learned about myself that I never knew? Maybe a quality that you never realized that you had, or something that you didn't realize that you actually knew how to work a vacuum cleaner for the first time as a man. You maybe worked out, wow, this is what a vacuum cleaner does and how it works. But let's just take this time and pray together. Pray for one another. Share something that you can stand in faithful maybe for one another this week. And let's just participate and get practical about loving one another and covering one another as brothers and sisters. So thank you very much. It's really been an honor to bring the word of God. And we love you guys. We miss you guys. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you guys again next Sunday. Blessings, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.